This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright here along with my main man, Todd DeVries, and we are broadcasting live just 48 hours after the devastating Patriots loss in the AFC Championship game. Since the Patriots season is over, Todd, so is our show. This will be the last show of Football Nation.
For the season, yep.
For the season. Oh, we're looking forward to next year already. Can't wait to be back. Love all of our fans on Patriots.com Radio. Big audience.
Yeah, it ended with a thud, Bill, and I believe all three of us, our esteemed producer Kevin Collins, you and I, all picked the Patriots to get through to the Super Bowl, and it just wasn't meant to be. And we'll break that thing down for the next 120 minutes. It was there's a lot to talk about, Bill. There's a lot to sink your teeth into, and I know everyone up there in Boston and New England has been stewing over this for the last, like you said, 48 hours, or 40 hours, or however long it's been since the game ended. But, we'll try to tie a ribbon on everything and hopefully put a positive spin on things heading into the offseason.
Plus, we'll preview the Super Bowl, the Harbaugh Bowl. A lot of people are already calling it that. Ravens and 49ers match up later in the show. But we'll also recap the NFC Championship game with the Falcons and 49ers, as this show is a general NFL show. But, we have to start off with the Patriots. New England losing to Baltimore 28-13 on Sunday. Just an awful way to end the season. So close, Todd, to back-to-back Super Bowl appearances. The team has never lost an AFC title game at home. A lot was going the Patriots' way earlier in the game, but they just couldn't finish it out. Completely shut out, 21-0 in the second half. What did you make of that?
Shocking. I mean, there's so many angles here, Bill. I mean, especially if you put both games together, right? The NFC game and the AFC game. Both home teams lost, mm-hmm. right? Which I believe is the third time since 1970 that's happened.
Crazy.
Both home teams were shut out in the second half.
I don't know if that's ever happened before, but that's crazy too.
Just insane. And we can go through it here, Bill. And we'll have Kevin chime in as well to get his perspective. But there were just so many just weird plays, questionable plays that happened to the Patriots. And there were a number of them. And I count six or seven things that happened in that game that very un-Patriots-like, Bill.
You had the Patriots, who had the number one offense in the league, 34 points, 35 points per game. And to see them score 13 in the first half, and you say, they're gonna take it up a notch in the second half. But instead, they get completely shut out. Like you said, very unpatriot-like.
Well, where do you want to begin with this, Bill? I mean, do we want to just start breaking this down? Because I have a lot to talk about here. I mean,
let's start it off. Go ahead.
I mean, why don't we kind of just fast forward to the end of the first half, and we'll start there. Because okay. I think we can both agree there's a lot more to talk about in the second half than the first.
Sure.
End of the first half, the Patriots drive down all the way into the red zone, and they pull a page out of the Andy Reid time management playbook.
That's never a good thing.
No, former Eagles coach, notorious for butchering the end of halves and end of games. And, Patriots fans know that very well from the Super Bowl when they beat the Eagles, when the Eagles just kind of sat on the ball when they needed to score.
Right.
So I don't know what the heck they were doing, but they complete the pass. Brady scrambles down to the 10-yard line on first and 10 to set up a second and 7 or second and goal from the 7. Mm-hmm. And I believe, and Kevin, you can chime in on this if you have the exact stats. I believe they probably could have – I believe he slid down with 19 seconds left.
Yeah, right around.
And they had a timeout left, right?
They had one,
obviously.
Yep.
And I'm thinking they're going to call a quick timeout. It'll be second and goal. They'll throw two shots to the end zone, and if that doesn't work out, they'll kick the field goal, and they'll end on a good note. And that's not what happens. I don't know what the hell goes on. He has an awkward, weird scramble. They're trying to get up to the line. It was just kind of chaotic. And you're like, oh my god, they're not going to get a. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to kick a field goal here. They call a timeout with, 6 seconds left, Kevin?
Four. Yeah.
I think it was four.
Four seconds. and that's it. You know, obviously, you don't have time for anything. Right there was a red flag. And I'll be honest, while I was kind of alarmed by that, I kind of thought, well, they still have the lead. They haven't played great this half. They still have the lead. They'll be fine, you know. But I think it was a harbinger of things to come, Bill, because that was just the tip of the iceberg from what we saw in the second half.
If you take that play that you just described, even go the play before that, they called the timeout with 26 seconds left after pretty much like a 10-yard gain or a 17-yard gain by Aaron Hernandez, which brought them down to the 10-yard line. They called timeout right away, which led you to believe that they were trying to get the ball into the end zone. But after Brady scrambled and he only picked up like 3 or 4 yards on the play, they still had the ball on the 10-yard line. Then the clock ran all the way down to 4 seconds instead of calling timeout right away. That, to me, that second timeout is what made me believe they were going to try to go for the end zone. But then after Brady scrambled, I don't know what happened there. They just let the clock go all the way down to, you know, 5 or 4 seconds, and they settled for the field goal without taking another shot for a touchdown.
Kevin,
that, to me, didn't make any sense.
Kevin, post-game, did we get a good explanation on what happened there?
Yeah, I believe Coach said that he wanted time to get up and spike the ball to save the timeout so that they could have more flexibility with the next play call, but there was just not enough urgency, and it just took too long for them to get set and get back to the line of scrimmage. And I don't think Brady was trying to spike the ball. I think he was trying to actually run another play, that was the disconnect, and that's when Belichick called timeout, like ran down and called timeout from the sideline with 4 seconds left.
So, regardless.
Because that happened, if you guys remember, that happened, they had a similar snafu in Seattle where he got called for grounding. That was close enough where even if it wasn't grounding, there was only going to be like 1 second left, or there might have been no seconds left because the clock doesn't stop till the ball lands out of bounds. A lot of people don't know that. If you and there's actually been instances of teams, you know, if there's 4 seconds or 6 seconds left and it's, you know, fourth down and whatever, and you have a lead, there's been teams that'll, you know, get the quarterback in a shotgun snap, have him roll out, waste 2 seconds, and then throw the ball way up in the air downfield out of bounds. And that'll end the game.
But still, I mean, if you had to rank all the quarterbacks in the entire league that you want to have.
Yeah, I want Brady there, yeah.
You want Brady or like a Peyton Manning,
yeah,
you know?
I absolutely, I agree.
But to me,
that whole situation was, it got off to a bad start when they had a 3rd-and-10 from the 27-yard line with about 26, 28 seconds left. And they converted it on Baltimore blitz. They found Aaron Hernandez, and he picked up, like, I believe, 17 yards and had the chance to get out of bounds there and decided, we have 2 timeouts. I'm going to cut back in and try to get more yardage. It's tough because we had this whole debate today on PFW at noon about it's hard to tell a guy to try to not make a play. You want your guys to be able to have that instinct to try to make a play and try to score.
Right.
But when he cut back in, you know, there's 2 or 3 guys there. He's going to get tackled. And it might have just been smarter to get out of bounds and you save timeouts. And so now, you know, you're first and goal from the 10 with 2 timeouts and 26 seconds left, as opposed to first and goal from the 10, 1 timeout left, 26 seconds left. And it's a small thing, but that's where it sort of started. I mean, he basically caught an uncontested out route and had the option to get out of bounds for about a 12-yard gain or so, maybe even more, and instead tried to stick it back in the middle and try to score a touchdown.
Okay,
that's where it started.
I hear you there. That's where it started. If you want to go to that level of detail, on first down, why is Tom Brady scrambling?
I don't know.
Throw it into the stands.
Right, throw it away.
And I mean,
stop the clock.
So let's fast forward to the actual play in question here. It's 1st-and-10 from the 10-yard line, like you guys said. I think he only picked up about 3 yards on
that
scramble, right?
Yeah.
So unless that's
the famous thing that the Ravens are bitching about right now with
the leg went up in the air. That was right in front of me. So anyway, when the play was actually happening, I like to some, and I know this sounds dorky to you guys, but I like to think along with try to figure out like what they're thinking as the play's going on, because I'm like down there like in the action a lot of times.
Right.
So he's rolling out, and in my mind, I'm thinking, just throw the ball away, because you see him rolling out. You know that if he takes off, he's probably going to get I don't know, 3 to 5 yards at most. He's going to get hit. He's not going to score a touchdown. It was obvious he was not going to score a touchdown.
Right.
So it's like if the clock goes off in your head and he's outside the pot, he's outside the tackle boxes, you throw the thing into the third row or you throw it into the, you know, the sticks on the sideline, and that probably saves you 3 or 4 seconds left from the scramble and also saves the timeout. And at that juncture, it's more important to have the time back on the clock and the timeout than have 3 yards. Would you guys agree with that?
Totally. Exactly.
So I, instead, like, a lot of people are focusing on the fact that the Patriots should have called timeout the second he slid. And I understand that because you have second and goal from the 7 and you probably have like 15 seconds left and you have 2 shots at the end zone. Okay.
Right.
But if you just push it even a little further and you think a little deeper, I think the best possible situation there is you throw the ball out of bounds, you save an additional 2 or 3 seconds. So what? You don't get the 3 yards. It's really not that big of a deal in that situation, you know? I just,
no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're on – at that point, Kev, it really doesn't matter if you're on the 5-yard line.
The 7 or the, like, 10, it's all the same.
It doesn't matter.
No, and so I think I thought of that play a little more in-depth and a little differently because, I, when I mentioned this to a few of the guys down here this afternoon – you know, they were harping on Belichick and Brady for having that disconnect between, are we going to try to line up and spike this? Are we going to try to run another play? Are we going to call timeout as soon as I get off the ground? What are we doing? And I pushed it even further and said, as the play was unfolding and he rolled out, I was thinking, throw it to me. I'll catch it. That's what I wanted him to do.
But usually, Kev, you're right. I mean, usually in those types of plays, again, these cerebral quarterbacks, like, they have maybe their first or second read, and if it's not there, they just throw it away.
Yeah,
like,
and I mean,
And
what makes it even more puzzling, Todd, is when you fast forward to later into the game, into the fourth quarter, so now they're chasing 28-13 here.
Yeah, we're going to get to this big time.
There's like 8 minutes left, and they're driving and they're moving, and Vereen had a big drop. I understand that. But so they have the 4th and 4, and they're deep in ball, and if.
Yep.
I understand in my mind, Todd, when they went down 21-13, I gave the nod. I knew that they weren't coming back, and I just had this feeling that they're done. And this was before the Ridley fumble, it was before the Bolden touchdown, all that stuff. So but let's just put this in a hypothetical sense here. So it's 28-13, there's 8 minutes left.
Before we jump all the way ahead to the fourth quarter, I know exactly what play you're gonna talk about. When he didn't run for the first down.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't want to talk about that yet.
Okay.
Well, let's finish out the first half here.
Okay.
For just a second. And then we'll get into that play when he could have outran the 350-pound
nose tackle.
Haloti Ngata.
Yep.
All right, we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, Bill's hot. Bill is extremely hot on that topic.
You're hot. I'm hot.
A little bit. Hold on.
Hot and bothered.
So, listen, back to this timeout situation, regardless of what they messed up, they didn't mess up, they poor clock management, whatever. They're still up. They make the field goal 13-7 going into the second half. What do you think? What was the feeling of the crowd? Were they happy with the score? Were they cheering? What was going on at the stadium, Kevin?
Yeah, no, they were. I don't think there was any sense of panic at that point. There was some frustration over how the half ended. I think everyone wanted 7 there. And I think that the majority of the people in the audience were smart enough to know they kind of screwed that up.
Because here's what I'm thinking.
But there was no booing running off the field or anything like
that. At the same time, you want to support your team. Obviously, no one's going to boo. It's the AFC Championship game. But at the same time, I felt like that kind of negative undertone about the poor clock management in the first half led into the second half, and then we all know what happened in the second half.
Okay,
third, fourth quarter.
I mean, I didn't have
terrible.
That feeling.
I didn't either, Bill.
You didn't? Not
no,
at all?
At that point,
I thought they were going to win, Bill.
Not me.
I thought they had a slow first half, and I thought they were going to come out and –
yeah, they've had a lot of explosive second
no, and,
halves.
No, and Bill, let me preface it. I didn't have the feeling, but you're right. That's what happened. I mean, there's no denying it. But, I mean, I just didn't feel like that coming off the field at halftime.
I just feel like I'm so used to the Patriots scoring at will, going full throttle, you know, pedal to the metal the entire game. And then when you settle for a field goal in a really important game like this, and it's, you know, a touchdown gives the other team the lead, I kind of felt like, I don't know if I want to go into halftime like that. I'm not saying I knew it was going to carry over to the third and fourth quarter, but I'm just saying, for me, watching at home on TV as kind of an impartial fan here, I wouldn't want to see my team go into the half.
I'll
like
say
that,
this, Bill, to,
with
to
only
your,
a 6-point lead.
To your defense, there was one other item in the first half that we did gloss over that I'd like to bring up because it ties into something that happened in the second half.
What's that?
First quarter, okay? First quarter, the Patriots get the ball. They drive down to the Baltimore 35. I understand there's a wind problem. Mm-hmm. It was just weird to see them punting from the 35 in an AFC title game. I know it was 4th and 9, Kevin, so that, you know, I don't want to sound like an idiot here, but it was just kind of it stuck with me. I'm like, oh, wow, they –
Well,
I knew
that they weren't going to try to kick the field goal.
I knew that.
And here's the thing, Todd. If it's 4th and 5 or less, they go for it. But I had no problem punting in 4th and 9 and 4. I think they punted on 4th and 8 as well.
Or something. I get it. My point is this. I just want to say, to kind of defend Bill going into halftime with a weird feeling. It was kind of like, you know, I know there's wind to kick at the field goal. I know it's a little long, but it just seemed like, okay. Kind of conservative. That's all I'm getting at, because it does bring us to the second half as well.
That didn't bother me as much, Todd, only because you saw what the Patriots defense did on that following series.
I agree.
It was basically a 3-and-out. Bernard Pierce opened up that drive with an 11-yard run, but then it was 2 incomplete passes from Joe Flacco.
Well, let's move on to the third quarter. So they come out of halftime, 13-7. The Ravens get the ball, move the ball to midfield, and have to punt.
Right.
You know? Again, Patriots fans got to be feeling pretty good
about
that.
Defense holds again, yeah.
Patriots get the ball at their own 9. They drive the ball, to the 34. Mm-hmm. And again, it's very similar to what I just mentioned. It's a 4th and 8 from the Baltimore 34. Same win situation, correct, Kevin?
Yes.
As the first
Going
quarter.
The same
first
way.
Yeah, so again, I get it. It's 4th and 8. It's too far to kind of go for it, too far to
You're in no man's land.
But again – They're
You're
stuck in,
their in
no man's land twice.
Yeah.
And I guess my point is, and both times, like, they didn't convert on third down. They didn't get any yards on third down. So it wasn't like, you know what I mean? They had a 3rd and 9 the first time.
Well, I believe the 3rd and 8 play was the Welker key drop.
Like, that's what I'm getting
I think.
At. That's the key drop. The first half it was a pass to Lloyd, but the second half, the 3rd and 8.
Because I feel like, and Bill, I'm curious to get your opinion on this.
Yeah.
Just because we think a little different sometimes when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
So in a perfect world, if Welker makes that catch and continues the drive, now they're in the red zone or
right.
you know on the doorstep, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're able to punch that in and they go up 20-7.
Or even 16-7.
I'm going to say 20-7.
Okay.
16-7, I'm still kind of like, they've kicked 3 field goals, you know, we could be in trouble here.
Right.
If they go up 20-7 there, Bill, I really think Baltimore has a tough time coming back from that.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to say that because, one, he didn't catch the ball, and
I'm just saying,
Ravens end up scoring a touchdown on that next drive.
But I think
if you're down 20-7
on the road,
then things start to go.
Especially Bill,
things start to go.
But especially Bill, at this point, they've only had one good drive, too. So it's not like their offense has been clicking on all cylinders.
Right, defense is playing great.
Right, so here, and they've been losing the field position battle. The Patriots have been pinning them deep, and I think at that point, I felt, Bill, coming out of the locker room, I was like, hey, man, if they can force a punt, which they did, because
mm-hmm.
Baltimore got the ball first because they deferred on the coin toss. I was like, if they can force a punt and put 7 up on, you know, 7 up on the board, I was like, this is over.
Yeah.
I was like, they're in a great spot. And when they forced the kick and then they weren't able to finish that nice drive they had, which I believe was aided by like a Ray Lewis personal foul on a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah,
I was like, man,
Pollard.
Pollard, excuse me. But they got a little bit of help on that drive. They're moving the ball. The defense is playing well. The crowd's still engaged at that point. If they go up 20-7 right there, I think Baltimore, you know, is going to start having those doubts creep into your head.
I totally agree with that.
And Bill, to further answer your question, at that point when Welker dropped that football and they had to punt is when I started to get the feeling in my stomach.
See, that is the key drive that Patriot fans are going to think about for the next
yeah,
9 months.
Wes
Welker dropping that pass
again,
and then seeing the Ravens drive down the field.
Yeah, it was not – so to better answer your question, Bill, it wasn't necessarily halftime in the timeout snafu. It was that series of 2 drives with the defense coming up, making the statement, and the offense not able to finish the bill for what, the 4th or 5th time where they had a chance to go up, you know, 2 possessions and really start to bury the Ravens. And – you know, how many times did the defense hold? You know, you can only hold so many times. I think you, and especially when you're not a great defense to begin with, which I think we can all agree, the Patriots defense has improved from last year, but it's by no stretch a great defense.
Right.
So how many times can you expect these guys to hold Baltimore and to force punts you know, and the offense is not able to add on. And I think that was really the moral of the story. And that was at the point where you could start to feel the crowd and everybody shift.
What were the guys saying this morning about Wes Welker? Because we know all the great catches. We know, even last week we were saying on how he took so many hits, but, you know, he converted on the first down, and you saw McDaniels with the fist pump and really getting excited. But then we think of Wes Welker, the last two big games, last year's Super Bowl, could have won the game for the Patriots.
Yep.
And this incomplete
big,
that
big
could have kept that drive alive in Baltimore territory.
Yeah.
You know, you think of how great he is, and then think on how he kind of dropped the ball sometimes.
Because also, guys, I mean, it's hard not to love the guy because of the way he plays and the amount of abuse he takes and the size he is.
Exactly.
And he's just such a blue-collar player, and I think a lot of fans here in New England identify with that type of player.
Sure.
He's a lunch pail guy, you know?
Right.
But it is being talked about quite a bit, and, you know, he's a free agent again coming off the franchise tag. It's possible they could use it again on him. He is eligible to have it used again on him.
$11 million contract that would mean.
Yeah, and he's 31. There's just a lot to consider. But I think that there's no way that you can overlook the amount of drops, because it wasn't just in this game this year and it wasn't just in the Super Bowl. He's had quite a few key drops and third down drops this year. And to be honest, John Rook in the show before this one even went so far as to say is he remembers a lot more of the drops this year than the positive stuff. Like, the drops are overshadowing a lot of what he does. I won't go that far, because I think he's a hell of a football player, and I think any guy that's catching 100 balls, you know, four, five, six years, year in and year out, and I think he's even got over the bugaboo. You don't hear anymore, guys. When he started first putting up these numbers, well, that's great, but he's not catching any balls in the red zone. He's not getting any touchdowns. He's even quieted those critics. You're not really hearing. He caught a touchdown the other night. He's been tougher in traffic when the defense is able. You know, when you get inside the 20, I think we can all realize, guys, in the NFL, it's tough to score in the red zone on a lot of these, like, decent defenses. But, like, in Baltimore, if you look, their defense, I thought, was terrible. Like, I was not a fan of their defense. But if you look, they were, like, second in the red zone.
Which, they bend, but they don't break.
Exactly, which lends credence to the fact that they're an older defense. They're not quite as fast or athletic. But when you give them less field to protect, they know how to get it done and force field goals.
Right.
And so I think I give Welker a lot of credit because he's kind of adapted and learned how to get open in heavy traffic down there. But there's no way you can overlook these drops, and I think it's definitely going to be a factor in how the Patriots value him as a free agent.
And not to mention, Kevin, I mean, even just the nature of the two plays, if you want to compare the Super Bowl drop and Sunday's drop, they were even kind of similar, just the way they looked.
Yeah.
Same side of the field. It was kind of like an off-balance.
It was an awkward attempt at a catch, I'll put it that
awkward,
way.
Awkward, you know, kind of his feet trying to kind of back up at the same time and jump. And
you can make the argument,
balls,
too.
Very weird how they looked very similar.
I agree. And I don't know how you guys feel about this play. You remember the first drive, the Patriots had the ball. They got the ball to start the game, and they had a 3rd and 2 from around midfield. They had been moving the ball pretty well. And Brady, the 3-man rush, had all day to throw back there. He's 5, 6, 7 Mississippis just kind of looking around, and he threw the deep ball to Welker that went through his hands. You guys remember that one?
Yep. Yes.
A lot of people are, like, banging on him because of that play, too. I thought I don't know if I would consider that a drop. I wanted your guys' opinion.
I guess technically it was, but I don't know. I mean, the drops people are going to remember, Kevin, obviously, are the ones that turn the momentum of a game.
Yeah, no, that happened on the other side of the field for me. I haven't watched the game over again. I know that he got both his hands on it, but it was a full layout, I think.
It was a catchable ball.
It was a catchable ball, and I think the argument that a lot of fans are making, guys, is that, you know, a Pro Bowl wide receiver that's considered one of the best in the league has got to come up with that in the AFC title game.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I was just curious as to what you guys thought of that, because it was one of the few shots, guys, that they took down the field.
Kevin, you know it better than anyone. Look at the Giants: David Tyree, Mario Manningham. I mean,
guys made big plays in big
huge
games.
Plays,
and those
are
guys
you shouldn't make.
And those are players not considered, you know, as good as Welker. So,
yeah, and we're taking extreme examples here. I understand, but to your point, Kev, I mean, kind of got to, you know, like you said, it's the AFC title, dude. It's not week 4 against Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, and just further piggybacking on that, Todd, like how many times, like you see him make the tough catches in traffic, you see him take the hits, but the drops on balls where he could have, you know, caught, there's more of those than catches he's made in those situations where you're like, wow, he had no business catching that ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially in the big spots.
Yeah, there's far fewer spectacular grabs than there are drops in these big situations.
Right.
Bill, so why don't we reel this back in? So let's take, we're back here, we're back in the third quarter. Welker drops the ball on 3rd and 8 from the Baltimore 34.
Right.
And they are forced to punt again from the Baltimore 34. Too far for a field goal with the wind. 4th and 8's too far to kind of go for it. It's only 13-7. Now, you know, Kevin has the feeling in the pit of his stomach that something could go wrong, and it does. They punt the ball. Ravens get the ball at their own 13, and I'm looking at the play-by-play right here. Mm-hmm. They marched it down. I believe it's an 11-play drive, 10 of which were pass attempts.
There was a lot of no huddle and a lot of shotgun.
Well, this is finally when Caldwell, the mannequin, decided, oh, we have to throw the ball to beat these guys.
They didn't even get to 3rd down on that drive.
Yep.
First down, second first. They never even got to 3rd down. They didn't have to convert a 3rd down.
And I had wondered why they didn't do this earlier, but that was whatever. A lot of it was field position, I think.
Flacco, to his credit, and we need to praise Flacco, and I've been a Flacco basher over the years, and he's proven me wrong. Last AFC title game, he played well enough to win. You know, there was a drop by Lee Evans, mm-hmm. field goal kicker shanks a kick. This year, I mean, call it luck, but against the Broncos, he was both lucky and very good. And obviously here, he started to turn it on right here, Bill, because he just started throwing bullets in the wind, against the wind, into the wind, with the wind, didn't seem to matter. He started to connect with Pitta. He started to connect with Bolden. And he started looking like a, dare I say, borderline elite quarterback.
I mean, that was the conversation that was brought up about Joe Flacco this summer. I think someone asked him similar to what was asked of Eli Manning last year, are you an elite quarterback? And Flacco, of course, what do you expect him to say? He said, yes, I am. I do consider myself
the
best quarterback in the league.
Looming.
Right. What I don't understand. You know, a lot of people made a big fuss about that. But what is the guy supposed to say? No, I'm not good enough
totally
to play in the NFL.
It's a non-story.
Right. It totally was.
But he turned it on, man.
He's doing it in the playoffs, Todd. 853 yards.
On the road.
Right. On the road.
In Denver, in Foxborough.
No interceptions. That's crucial. 8 touchdowns, 853 yards in 3 games.
Yep. And what was the stat that I saw, Bill? If he gets through the Super Bowl without throwing an interception, every quarterback in the history of the NFL that has not thrown an interception in the playoffs and got to the Super Bowl has won the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl MVP.
There you go.
So we'll see what happens there. But let's keep going here. So now it's 14-13. Patriots get the ball back. And Kevin, again, another small play people might be overlooking. It's 3rd and 2 from the New England 33.
Yep.
They convert it. Danny Woodhead, holding penalty.
Yep.
Now it's 3rd and 12.
Nate Sorter, I believe.
Yep,
yeah, left tackle. Yep.
And now it's no play. You got to replay 3rd down. Instead of 1st and 10 from the 35 or 37, it is 3rd and 12 from the 23. Yeah. They throw an incompletion.
Yeah, he rushed a ball to Hernandez that he threw way wide and in the dirt.
Yep. And now you got problems. Now you're punting from your 23.
Yep.
And the Ravens get good field position from the 37, and they basically drive right down the field again. I'm looking at this, Bill. It's all shotgun and no huddle shotgun.
I'm telling you, Caldwell finally realized, I don't know why it took him so long, but once he realized what you had to do to beat this team, I mean, Flacco executed perfectly. You can't take that away from him.
Well, maybe it wasn't that he realized it. Maybe it was the fact that your top cornerback was taken out of the game due to injury.
True, but that was so early in the game. Like, they should have gone right away and started
attacking. But maybe it took them until halftime to, you know, readjust and figure out really their game plan, find out the weakness, see where Tlaib was playing, who he was playing against, and then go after it. Maybe they needed that halftime to kind of draw up some plays.
All right, fair enough.
Because even though the Patriots stopped them at the start of the third quarter, they were still doing the no huddle shotgun.
Yep.
The passes were just incomplete.
Yeah.
So it's not like they changed their game plan midway through the third quarter. They were trying to pass the ball more at the start of the second half, but the Patriots were doing a good job in coverage.
Okay.
A lot of incomplete passes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So the Ravens get the ball, Bill, and this time they have to convert, I believe, 1 3rd down. On this drive, and they drive it right down the field, and on the first play of the fourth quarter, Flacco throws the ball to Bolden for a touchdown. Now they're up 21-13 with an entire quarter to play. And now, Kevin, now you're really feeling like you got
problems. Yeah, I said lights out at this point.
Did you? Not, even down eight.
Yeah, no, that's where I said. Once they scored that touchdown, I said lights out.
Not only that, lights out. I mean, not even lights out. It was complete darkness. Things couldn't have gone worse for the Patriots in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the Ravens had the ball on, what, the three-yard line at the start of the fourth quarter, so we'll just credit that touchdown to the third quarter. That's when they really made it all happen.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but in terms of the Ravens, I mean, they scored another touchdown, and the Patriots, their fourth quarter drives were terrible. We'll get into each one of them, but just to sum it up, you had a failed fourth down conversion, a fumble, and two interceptions. I don't know if it can get any worse.
Yeah.
And this is the offense that was number one in the NFL this year. I think that's why it's so shocking to everybody.
Yeah. Preaching to the choir, Bill. I was stunned. I did not think that the Ravens defense was capable of what they did in the second half.
I don't know if it was more the Ravens defense or the Patriots' errors.
I mean, the last pick, I think, was definitely like...
Yeah.
I mean,
desperation.
Yeah, it was like a Hail Mary type.
And then there was a tip.
Yeah, the tip, you know, but you got to credit the Ravens. I mean,
sure.
They got in the way, made the tip, and LRB made a nice catch on a ball that's going end over end, which is not the easiest catch in the world, unless you're used to fielding punts in practice, which I doubt
he is. Ridley fumble was a big-time hit.
The Ridley fumble was, I don't think you can really say he was loose with the ball. Or, I mean, he got knocked out.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was out cold.
So it's you have a hard time like kind of pinning that on a guy when he gets knocked the you-know-what out.
Of course.
So, I mean, but that's one of those plays where you can kind of look at it and be like, you know what? Things were just going their way because, you know, if he holds on to that thing for a split second more and his knee or his shin doesn't dislodge that ball, then it's a miracle and he's unconsciously down by contact. You know, down by contact and the Patriots have new life. But it was just it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. But you're right, on the Ridley play, they would have had the ball second and two or thereabouts.
Out toward midfield. And, I mean, you're only down by one possession. I mean, it was a huge play, guys. I mean, a lot of people think that that's where the game ended, but I just had this feeling that once they went down eight, they weren't coming back.
Well, that's when I thought there was big time problems with the Patriots. It happened on the fumble, and then, you know, so we all went in stages. It looks like Bill at halftime, Kevin, it was you with the Welker drop, and then it was me with this fumble, and then four plays later, Flacco, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that was too
47
easy.
47 yards in four plays, and now it's 28-13. With 11 minutes to go,
and
now you're in complete desperation mode.
And they still march the ball right down the field.
They still march the ball down the field, and now let's talk about the play.
Couldn't execute.
Let's talk about it, Bill. This is the play that's been – you've been all up in arms about. So they get the ball down to the 19-yard line, all right?
Patriots do.
Patriots do. It's second and four from the 19.
Down 28-13.
Yes. They try a pass to Vereen. He drops it.
Right.
Third and four. Tries a pass to Welker.
Yeah, Welker had no shot at that thing.
No
to
shot.
Be fair.
Correct.
No totally shot. Agree. Yeah.
So now it's fourth and four. Brady drops back to pass, scrambles out of the pocket.
Could read a
Bill,
newspaper.
You take it from there.
All right. Here's what I don't understand about this play. One, there's no one in sight. Haloti Ngata, you probably feel him breathing down your neck. No one in sight. You see where the fourth down, where the first down marker is. You know you have to pick up 4 yards. Does the play in the first half, at the end of the first half, when he scrambles and tries to, you know, leg sweep Ed Reed, does that play come into the equation where Brady wants to pass it instead of run it? Two, does he think that Haloti Ngata can catch him from behind? And if so, we have a serious problem with Tom Brady's athleticism. Because Haloti Ngata... What was that?
This is funny because he's fat.
Yeah, it is funny because he's fat, because Haloti Ngata is probably one of the biggest nose tackles in the NFL. He's like a Vince Wilfork kind of size. There's no way he's catching Brady. He had a 2 yard gain on him, 2 yard head start. He only had to pick up fourth down. Even if he doesn't slide and he gets tackled by the ankles, he could probably just reach out. He's 6'5". He could reach out and get the first down marker just by, you know, going down to his knees and putting the ball by the first down marker.
Kevin, on television, I totally agree with Bill. On television, this looked
it looked horrible.
It looked horrible in person from the sideline too, guys. It was very frustrating.
So if everyone wants to rip Wes Welker for not catching passes in the Super Bowl last year, rip him for dropping that big gain or that could have been a big game that, Kevin, you were discussing earlier,
yep.
or even that one when it was when the Patriots were driving and they ended up punting from the 35, you have to rip Brady for not getting his first down here. Same kind of situation. Brady makes great plays. Brady makes great plays. That's where we're used to seeing him. But this was a big-time mess-up on his part.
And sometimes, guys, I'm guilty of thinking that, you know, there's probably once or twice a game where I'm like, come on, Tom, take off, take off. And he'll end up finding somebody that's open that's a better option. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I understand where you're going. But in that,
that play,
he threw like a Hail Mary wobbler to the end zone that had nobody had a shot at. So it was just very frustrating to have it, you know, it's a big play. They're still technically in the game. And it's like you'd like to think that there's some element of Brady that, you know, that fiery, passionate Brady that we love so much, that's just like, you know what? I'm tucking this thing and I'm taking off and I'm getting that 4 yards no matter who I have to go
through.
That's
when, like, you know, you got to get a little Elway or even.
Yeah, I mean, you see him scramble and he, you know, last year in the AFC title game, he got in Ray Lewis's face after a scramble. He's gotten Brian Urlacher's face.
Yep.
You've seen him.
Do it this year against the Texans on Monday Night Football.
You've seen him do.
Got everyone fired up,
you know,
with that run.
Yeah, or QB sneaks where he's got the big spot. You'd like to see that guy come out in that situation and be like, you know what? Screw Haloti Ngata. I'm getting this thing.
You have to believe that if we got Brady on some truth serum, he would say, I absolutely want that play back.
Yeah, I think looking at it again, especially on the all 22, he's probably like, there's nobody in front of me.
Yeah,
I have to be able to get away from this guy, the nose tackle. I have to be.
Sometimes you make bad plays. Sometimes you make mistakes.
Yeah, and that's understandable. But it's just like, it's just such an inopportune time for him to do that. It's,
right.
And you're not used to
seeing
him do that.
Don't expect it from a great quarterback like Tom Brady.
8.5 minutes left, guys. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Like
they go punch it in right there. They're still right in the game.
They punch it in with 7 minutes left. You're down a touchdown with 7 minutes left.
And you get all three timeouts left.
Yep.
I completely agree with you guys. It's a different game.
Then from there, Bill.
You've
got to
be able to outrun him.
My
grandfather walks with a cane. I think he could have picked up that first down.
But it's just – no, and I get that, but it's just like you want the fire in the belly, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Even if he does get caught or gets – hell, even if he falls over his own 2 feet and face plants, you're like, at least he's trying to go for it, you know? You got to think that in his head at that time, he knows this is the game. Like, I have to get these 4 yards or it's
right.
over, you know?
So you're on the 19. You don't get the first down.
Yep.
Ravens take over. Huge sack by Ninkovich. Passing complete. Now the Ravens punt the ball back. Only a minute is taken off the clock. So even if you still think the Patriots are in it at that point,
they're still in.
Down 28-13. The Ravens drive defense did a great job stopping the Ravens. Only took a minute off the clock. And then we see the Patriots come out. Huge catch by Welker down the middle. Picks up a big gain. And then we see the interception.
Yeah. And I mean, and at that point, you know, you're thinking the game's over. And then the Ravens throw it three. You know, they get sacked, which keeps the clock running. But then they throw and throw. Three times they tried to throw it instead of just kind of starting to ice the game a little bit, you know, which was
right. That's
strange.
What I'm saying. It only took a minute off the clock, that drive.
I mean, that was like, what are you doing? Now they're going for the kill shot. I guess I can appreciate that. But it failed miserably. And like you said, then one play and they're back at the 24-yard line.
And that's when you have to think, if you're at that game or if you're a Patriots fan, you're watching on TV, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
Welker just picked up 36 yards. We're driving again. We have the ball close to the red zone. We're going to go in for a score. Still plenty of time left on the clock.
Yeah.
But you didn't even get a chance to do that.
Nope. This was the ball that was tipped, correct?
Right.
Ellerby came down with it, and then then it's game over for real. Because how many chances are you going to get? You know,
they had chances the whole game, and and the defense gave them great field position for like at least 2.5 quarters of that game.
Well, Kevin, we just went through it all, right? They got down to the 34, couldn't do anything twice, had to punt.
Yep.
Right? They mismanaged the lead points on the board potentially at the end of the half. Welker drops a pass, you know. It's just one thing after another. Brady's 4th and 4.
Yeah, everything went wrong.
Points.
It's just everything
just,
went wrong.
You can't keep doing that. It just unraveled completely. And so then a tipped interception, and then it's just, you know, from there, Bill, I mean, I don't know how much more you want to talk about it. It's game over.
But the more and more I thought about it, tossing and turning in bed on Sunday night, thinking about all the opportunities they wasted, you know, they were able to get the ball into plus territory and able to get it down to the 30, 35, you know, 20, 25-yard line very consistently. And as soon as Baltimore realized, okay, we can go into our, you know, our red zone defense and kind of pack it in, and the Patriots just had no answer, and it's just really frustrating. And you could see the look on guys' faces walking off the field, like, how are we able to move it the first 30 or 40 yards and not finish, you know?
Yeah, totally. But. Well, that was it. 28-13, the Ravens move on to the Super Bowl. They'll play the San Francisco 49ers. What do you say when we come back, we'll discuss some of the hot topics from after the game, guys? Terrell Suggs had some trash talk for the Patriots. Wes Welker's wife had some trash talk for Ray Lewis on Facebook. And then we had some big words from the big mouth, Shannon Sharp. We'll get into that when we come back. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Football Nation, the pulse of NFL fans everywhere.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, Adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, and our producer Kevin is hanging out with us today. And I'll tell you what, it is a little bit of a shame, Kevin, because I really wanted to hang out with you down in New Orleans.
Oh,
come Super
don't
Bowl
talk
time.
About it. You're going to make me cry.
I'm still going down with Kerry Byrne, our friend from ColdHeartFootballFacts.com. We're doing a nice little road trip.
Starting to tear up.
We're doing a nice little road trip. We're getting some Sam Adams. I think they're going to be one of our main sponsors, so they should definitely provide us with some beer beverages, I would think, right?
I would hope so. It would be a crime if they didn't.
Yeah, seriously. I'm expecting like a stocked fridge of Sam Adams.
We had Jim Cook, the founder of Sam Adams, on
Kerry's
show. So you should be well taken care of. And I wish I was going because I'm sure Kerry would hook me up too. But unfortunately.
I was really looking forward to being down there with you. Todd, my co-host here, he's a married man. He's got 2 kids. Kerry is a married man. You and I,
we would have just been out there tearing it up.
Exactly. That's what I was planning.
We're both about the same age. We're both, you know, models of physical fitness with great
incredible.
With great hair. And you know,
Kevin, can't forget about Kevin. Have you ever rented an RV?
I have not.
All right. I've done it before.
I've slept in one. I just haven't rented one.
Right. I've done it for like Penn State games, or I go back to my alma mater for like, you know, you have it for like 48 hours.
Yeah.
By the end of the 48 hours, the thing is an absolute mess. It smells to high heaven.
Especially with dudes in it. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, all right. Yeah. And when I was doing that, by the way, it was like us with our like girlfriends or fiancés or whatever it was.
They must have not been too happy with the smell in there.
No. Well, imagine this. That was like a 48 hour thing. Bill, how long is your trip?
Well, we're leaving on Thursday.
How many days?
And we're getting, I can't do math, but we're getting there Monday night, maybe Tuesday.
That's a lot of time.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Is it just you two, Bill?
No.
Frankie C.
Oh, my goodness.
Frankie C. And some Frankie C's friend. He's like the cameraman. And a driver.
Jeez. Who's the driver?
Five guys?
I have no idea who the driver is.
You should have just hired me to drive down now that I have all this free time.
Well, listen, my only contingent, I said, Kerry, I have no problem coming on the trip. I'll work my butt off for you. But I'm not getting behind the wheel of that RV. I don't like driving, you know, big, huge things.
I'm love
comfortable
it.
With that.
I would have been fine.
So he's like, don't worry about it. We're getting a driver. I was like, oh, all right, that's
man, I'm going to yell at Kerry next time I talk to him because he could have hired me. I love, you know, driving big, huge things.
You know, I was really excited. I really wanted to hang out with you down there. I was, you know, we have the Patriot show. I was hoping to do a Patriot show from New Orleans.
Would have been
that
awesome.
Would have been great. Yeah. But I hate flying.
Okay.
So when I found out about this RV trip, I was pumped because I knew I wouldn't have to fly.
Gotcha.
We're driving down, driving home. And then Carrie tells me just the other day that we're flying home. We're not taking the RV back.
Oh, so you're ditching it down there.
Yeah, so okay. I'm going to have to do some meditation or something so I can get my
just
anxiety.
Just pop some, like, Valium or Xanax or whatever the kids take
it's,
these days.
I'm going to have to do something.
Get some purple drink.
Kevin, the stench coming from that RV.
Yeah, that is
going
to stink. They're going to need to deep clean that thing, detail that thing. They might have to put it out of commission.
You know, spilled Sam Adams.
So is Bill going to look like Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation pumping out the...
Oh
pumping out
God.
The pumping out the you know the chemical toilet in the streets
Crapper's
of like
full.
Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a radio host.
Crapper's
and a
full.
Football
That's
expert.
Right.
I don't get my hands dirty.
Makes
Bill's
sense.
Bill's a germaphobe too.
Yeah, big time.
That's just such a great scene when I think it's like Mela Kalikimaka Maka's the song playing
yes.
in the back,
yeah.
and he's out there with the cigar and a beer at like 9 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
just pumping his toilet out.
Yeah.
In like boxer shorts, a robe, and dress shoes.
Yeah. That's gonna
yep.
be me.
And he's got like an Elmer Fudd hat on, I think. Or
something. Oh yeah, he has the big furry like ear flap hat on.
Yep. Oh, yep. That's gonna be Bill. And
Not
you know,
boy,
Bill, you know where they're going? They're going like they're starting in Boston, going to New York, Baltimore, what Knoxville, Tennessee, Tuscaloosa,
Sing
Alabama,
Rocky Top all night long.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why we're taking that route, but I'm not in charge of it.
It's a roundabout route. There's no doubt about it. You're not going straight shot. There's no
doubt
about
that. Yeah,
we're
going Boston, New York City, Baltimore, and then we're going to Tennessee, and then Alabama. I don't know how that makes
Bottom
sense.
Bottom line is, you're going to have a great time, Bill. I'm supremely jealous of you. I mean, there's a lot of people that would kill for that opportunity.
Kevin, I've been in my mind, I've been thinking that I'm hanging out with you for the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
And I tell you what, we've had to plan for, you know, you have all these contingency plans we talked about last week.
Right.
Yeah.
About how it really kicks into gear after you win that divisional round, and you
right.
have to plan, all four teams left have to plan. So it's even more of a gut punch actually working for the team because, like, the fans, you get over it, but, like, there's just been so much excess work that everyone in this building has had to put in to plan to go, and now to have to throw it all away, you know,
right.
on the back end of this loss is just equally – it just makes it doubly as worse.
Hey, Kevin, I don't want to make you feel like crap. I know you're a young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the old fart of the group here. But it's been, what, 8 years now since the Patriots won a title?
Yep.
I mean, what, were you in diapers then?
Let's see.
Middle school?
Or I was in high school.
Wow.
Correct.
I didn't see it coming, guys. I really thought they were going to beat the Ravens. I really did.
I totally agree.
But you know what, Bill? I mean, on the other side of it, we did talk about the Ravens. Will they be that karma team,
destiny.
That hot team, you know, that get the Ray Lewis mojo going with his retirement? You have the Torrey Smith drama that's kind of been going on throughout the season with his brother passing away, and
right
I don't know what it is. They're obviously just playing great, but there's something else going on maybe with that team. I don't know. We'll get to our Super Bowl predictions here before the show ends, right? We're gonna
We'll definitely do that. Before we do that though, what did you make of what Terrell Suggs said about the Patriots after the game? He had some
not shocked at all.
No, what?
So tell
just
them to have fun
about
at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Call them a bunch of arrogant
effers.
You know, effers.
Right.
And then arrogant pricks, which I think you can say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
let you do that one.
Seriously, the word arrogant in Terrell Suggs, I mean, come on. Really?
But then he says this. People don't like him because they win. They're a great team. They have the right
well,
to be who they are.
I think he realized what he sounded like and that a bunch of reporters were... Some of them filming on iPhones, some of them tweeting, live tweeting his every word.
Even enemies can show respect. All BS aside, all ego and arrogance aside, that is one hell of a ball club.
Did you see the actual clip of him?
Yes. I actually
know. I got taken down.
I tried
to look for it.
I know the young man who took it, or the one that was on SportsCenter. I know the young man who took it.
Well, Bill, as I was watching it, he's kind of going through it's like the corridors.
Yes.
You know? But Bill,
right.
you and I have been there, you know,
yeah.
when we were in Fox Brothers, corridors that lead right to... It looks like one of the ones that leads right to the radio door.
It is.
Yeah, right there. And,
I mean,
and
that,
Bill,
he probably yelled that maybe about 50 feet from where I'm standing.
Bill, I'm telling you, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, where's KC?
Where's
KC?
He's yelling, and all of a sudden you see that red light appear on the back of his head, and he just drops.
see fireworks go off at an inopportune time.
He spontaneously human combusts.
Kevin, I was thinking about you, man. I was worried about you. When that popped up, I was like, oh boy. You know, international.
No, I'm not. We were doing the post game show, and you started seeing Dan Wetzel's tweets, and everybody was tweeting about it. And I just thought, you know, typical, very classy. You stay classy, exactly. Baltimore.
Well, speaking of staying classy or being classy, and speaking of a Baltimore player, former Baltimore player at least, what do you think of Shannon Sharpe calling out Bill Belichick for not doing a post game interview?
Come on.
Someone does that every year. It's old hat. Whatever.
Whatever.
He's not going to say anything, even if he goes. He's going to, shuffle
whatever.
Over
he's
there and mumble
7 seconds.
Yeah, mumble three phrases about how they need to get better in all phases for next year, and it's going to be awful.
Now, Belichick was supposed to talk to our boy Steve Tasker, who we had on the show last week.
You mean Don Beebe?
Don Beebe, great.
I saw him on the sideline. I was like, "Hey, Don, this is a great tackle you made on Leon Lett."
Did you really say? Did
no,
you say
I
anything
didn't,
to
I
him?
Didn't say anything to him.
Well, how funny was it that during the game, like I said. There's three things that they say: probable, questionable to return, doubtful to return. He used the doubtful to return for Aqib Talib.
Yeah, he's really good at his job, guys. He worked our sideline only.
Yeah,
and I was just watching him, and like, so in TV timeouts, he's out there talking to the officials, asking them like for clarification on stuff. Like, he's really engaged in the game. Does a good job.
Good job. Yeah. All right, the last hot topic I want to get to: what'd you make of Wes Welker's wife's Facebook post?
That
Anna
was classic.
Welker.
I got no problem with it, but I'm
no
sure the
problem
I'm,
with it?
I'm sure the coach has a problem with it.
Yeah, problem with
it,
the fact that she apologized after.
I think when you make a statement like that, you got to stand behind it.
Well, listen,
it was clearly a heat of the moment thing. We can all agree on that, I think.
But that's twice, 2 years in a row, a wife of a Patriots player has said something in the heat of the moment, caught wind in the media, and really became a big deal. Coach Belichick does a great job of keeping his players, away from those kind of controversies. But now all of a sudden we have to deal with the wives of players, talking trash after a game.
Yeah,
is that what the NFL has come to?
Yeah, I don't think he's not going to like that.
It doesn't matter.
These guys, though, Tommy Boy and Wes, they have to follow the great advice given by one Steve Carell.
You should keep your on a leash.
I like
it.
I'm
on the office.
I mean, hey. How many? If you polled 1,000 NFL fans and you basically asked them, do you think what Wes Welker's wife said is, kind of spot on? What percent of people do you think would agree?
A lot of
her
people.
Quote is this.
I think a lot of people. I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people.
Wrote,
a lot of people in New England would think she's spot on.
Well, let me say what she. Here's what she wrote on her Facebook page. All right. Quote. Proud of my husband and the Pats. By the way, if anyone is bored, please go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page. 6 kids, 4 wives, acquitted for murder, paid a family off. Yay. What a Hall of Fame player, a true role model. End quote.
Now listen, if you also go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page, you also see all the charity work he does and the Ray Lewis Foundation and all the, stuff he does around Baltimore and for, less privileged or underprivileged families and children and everything. So, I mean, at the same time, we know all the negative things about Ray Lewis at this point. Right? Like, why bring that up after a game?
Heat of the moment.
Yeah, heat of the moment. That's all I can say.
I think that also, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but I believe that she was getting bombarded because of Lewis's drop.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And she was kind of in that mode where she's kind
defense,
of defending her husband.
Self-defense. Yeah, exactly.
Here's my advice for that kind of situation.
Just don't say anything.
Don't go on Facebook.
Or just don't say anything.
Don't go on Facebook after a game. After your husband lost in the AFC Championship game, maybe Facebook, where your fans are probably writing personal attacks. You got all these internet trolls out there.
You.
Maybe you shut down your computer for the night.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't turn on Twitter a few minutes after the game. It's not worth it.
I tell you what, guys, and this may not be the same thing. It's not the same thing because I'm not related to any player on this team, and I don't play for this team. But so I come in here to the studio after this game, and I have to sit here and do a post-game show, which is just miserable, right? So as you can imagine, our webradio@patriots.com email address is very public. It's right on the front of the team website.
Right.
So you have people, Jets fans, Steelers fans, angry Patriots fans, just writing
whatever.
Profane, obscenity-laced emails about players, coaches, front office, ownership, all this stuff. And I'm filtering them through and giving our hosts the ones that are somewhat coherent. And I mean, to be fair, I want to pass along the angry ones too, but it has to be done in, you know, a tasteful manner. You can't just be. So here's the thing. There were so many of these guys that would write in 5, 6, 8, 10 times, you know, Jets fans, you know, in one really disgruntled Pats fan. And it's like so many, you know, I was just getting enraged, like just so angry at reading most of this stuff that I just wanted to email back from, you know, your wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios or something like that. You know what I mean? And, but I was just, I kept thinking to myself, you know, use Suggs as an example. Use, you know, Welker's wife or whatever as an example. You know, you don't want to come off, I don't want to come off like that. I don't want people talking about me or thinking about me or thinking of this organization in that light. You know, how it's hard sometimes, and I understand when you're taking abuse and you're in a tough situation coming off a tough loss, but I don't know. You just got to take it. I don't know how else to explain it. And you just take the high road, be classy about it, give the Ravens the credit. Take the criticism and you move on from it. Everyone moves on. And I just, it's unfortunate that, you know, she, I mean, I, to be honest, guys, I don't disagree with a whole lot of what she said, but would I ever say that? Do I think that that's relevant to the game and what happened? Absolutely not. There's no place for that.
To her credit, she did apologize.
Yeah, she did apologize.
My actions were emotional and irrational, and I sincerely apologize to Ray Lewis and anyone affected by my comment after yesterday's game. Why come out and say something with such malice
venom,
and then
yeah.
apologize a day later?
It's like that Texans chick who picked the Texans and then tried to, you know, I mean, got no love for the, for those chicks.
I have an easy solution. Don't go on Facebook after the game. Kevin, you did the right thing. You only sent over the good emails to the, you know, the crew that was doing the Patriots recap.
Yeah, no,
Patriots,
I, you know, you don't
post-game.
Want, you don't want, well, there's no place. You know, first of all, we're not going to read the emails that are laced with profanity because that's just not what we do.
Right.
But, you know, stuff that's just so absurd and written with such anger and hate, there's not a place for that on any of our shows, really. I mean, there's room for criticism. There's room for, you know, being critical of the team, the ownership.
Sure.
We all do that, and we do it all the time.
Yep.
And it's one of the reasons why I think we have so many listeners and people keep coming back for more is because we're not censored here, guys.
Oh, they're not just coming back for Todd?
Well, no, they are.
Oh.
But I mean, in, but I mean, you know, you understand what I'm saying? We're not.
I'm
it's
just
not.
Kidding
we're
you.
Not
yes,
just spewing like ownership propaganda here. We're pretty non-biased and like to give both sides of, you know, a chance to kind of explain where they're coming from.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be critical of the team. We're going to be critical of the owners, just like you guys are. But, hey, let's do it in an educated, like, informational fashion and not just be spewing pure hate mail and, you know, hate comments all over the Internet.
And speaking of, you can send us your email right now, web radio.
Just not hate mail.
No hate mail. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And no cursing if you want to call in. 508-298-0398 is the number. That's
Bill sounds like my mom.
No cursing,
yeah,
Kevin.
No profanity. I'll cut you right off the air real quick.
Oh, that reminds me of so it looks like your ticket offer from Olivier is going to expire here.
Well, that, you know what? I'm so we mentioned this. I'm doing this whole road trip down to New Orleans. The flights are so crazy expensive after the Super Bowl.
So you're coming back on Tuesday like a smart guy, right?
I'm actually leaving New Orleans on Sunday, flying back in time so I can watch the game with my friends.
Oh, really? You're not going to go to the game? Okay. Then.
Yeah, I'm not going to the game.
Because I was
going
to say, if you're actually going to the game, the smartest time to come back is probably like
Tuesday.
Wednesday. Just enjoy
right, yes.
enjoy an extra day or
but
so.
But at that time, I'd probably want to just stay for Mardi Gras.
That's true. That's
so
tough.
I'm trying
so
to get out of there. Yeah, I should, but I'm not going to.
That's tough, guys.
So you're not going to the game, Bill.
No.
Bill, are you going
to
get some beats?
First of all, I look for tickets. They're like over $1,000 to watch the 49ers and Ravens, two teams that I don't want to see win the Super Bowl. You know, money well spent other places. So I'm leaving Sunday.
Kevin, it's safe to say you're rooting for the Niners in this one, Kev? No interest? You don't even care?
No. If you ask me who I think is going to win, my pick would be San Francisco, but we'll get to that. But yeah, no, I don't have any particular love for anybody on the Niners or Harbaugh or their ownership or anything like that. But I wouldn't say that I like all out hate the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think that's accurate. I think I Do I love them? No. I
respect them.
I think it's a healthy mutual respect in a lot of areas. I think that if I'm the owner or GM or coach of the Ravens, do I have a talk with Suggs after that? I think I would personally, because I wouldn't want one of my guys. If you do that in closed-door locker room, Bill, no problem with it.
Right.
No problem at all. But if you're spouting that crap off in one of the most highly publicized games of the year,
when like you probably, know people are around.
And you know there's reporters and there's cell phone cams and all this stuff, can't you just wait 5 extra seconds to get into the locker room?
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that that's where I would have a talk if I were, you know, a high-level executive in the Ravens, just because, you know, they do a lot of things right, and I think they run a good organization, and they clearly win a lot of games, and it's like you don't want that being kind of the story after a game like that. You want your play on the field being the story, and those guys like getting the job done, and, you know, Ray Lewis and all that crap. You don't want Suggs running his mouth in, you know, profane-laced tirade in the hallway being the lead center on or lead story of that game.
Right, because it kind of takes away from
I totally
Ravens
agree,
advancing to the Super Bowl.
Totally agree.
Which should have been the main story. But instead, the way things go these days, it's the Shannon Sharp, it's the Terrell Suggs, it's the Wes Welker's wife.
Right. Yeah, and it'll be something else once they start interviewing these players in a week.
Right.
Someone will say something stupid at Super Bowl, you know, during media day. Right?
Yep.
Who knows who it'll be. Maybe. What are the chances? I'm going to mix popular stories here. What are the chances that somebody goes to, you know, however, there's always some crazy interviewer at media day.
Yeah.
And Bill, you were one of them last year.
Yeah.
Right?
I was.
Someone's going to go, I guarantee, as Manti Te'o's fake dead girlfriend.
Yeah, I'll try to take a picture.
You know what, I'm talking about. Somebody's going to go and put a twist on that.
By the way, guys, speaking of that, just while we're on the touch, and this is a short story. So I have one of my friends here that does in-stadium with me for the Pats. He has an NHL background and worked for the New Jersey Devils, and he worked for the Phoenix Coyotes before here. He's a little older. He's like 5 or 6 years older than me. He has a good buddy that works for the Dallas Stars, and with the NHL just getting started up again, they had opening night in Dallas, I believe, last night for their home opener, and they had, like, they were, you know, zooming around kind of like thanking fans for coming back with, you know, with the lockout. And so they're showing some of their most popular, like, fans all dressed up in their garb. You know how every stadium has, like, that guy that's always there?
Sure,
so they're doing that type of thing. And they show an empty seat and just put a lower third up there, Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
Oh.
And the place went nuts, I guess.
Yeah, that's the story that keeps on giving, Bill. So when you're there on in Media Row there, Bill, you know, keep an eye out for that. It'll be a great interview.
Yeah, I'll be sure to focus in on that. I'm not going to want to talk to, you know, any of the players or anything.
No.
Last year I got to talk to Maria Menounos, so that was fun. She was at media day with me. Oh, yeah. She was great.
Good job, Bill.
No doubt.
That's good work out of you.
You didn't put any of those pictures on Twitter, though.
No, I don't think that would have been nice if I did that.
No?
She was giving me some, you know, some
inside info?
Yeah. That wouldn't have been appropriate.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Coach Belichick, he stonewalled me just like he does everyone else.
Yeah.
But he kind of smiled at me afterwards, and it was really like a warm, like almost like a grandfather smile.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt good about myself.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like, hey,
well, what did you ask him?
I asked him, you know, do you have any special message for the fans from New England that are traveling out here to Indianapolis? And he said, I'm sure it's going to be a good game. And that was it. And he must have known, like, that I was, like, heartbroken by it.
Yeah.
And he kind of, like, gave me a smile, like, listen, I know I just, you know, kind of gave you
a BS
answer.
I know I just crushed your
dreams. But that's who I am. Yeah. So it was all good afterwards.
That's good. He's like, maybe I'll give you a lollipop after the interview.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll give you one of these 5 Gatorade bottles that the sponsor
put
in front of my
podium. Yeah, that they shove in front of you. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so he starts giving them away as, like, party favors after the press conference.
You know what I didn't like about Media Day last year? All these, like, access, like for example, Maria Menounos, all these Access Hollywood people are there,
right.
Like, the Entertainment Tonight. It's so absurd.
Obnoxious.
And they're asking these questions that are not related to football. They asked Tom Brady, like, I forget what celebrity couple was getting a divorce last year.
Yeah.
But they were neighbors to Brady, and they was like, when's the last time you, I think it was, like, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes or something like that. I'm just making that, I don't know. Well, when's the last time you saw Tom and Katie together? And he, you know, he, like, answers, but it had nothing to do with the Super Bowl or the NFL or anything about football. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like that.
You know who
stuff.
I feel bad for on Media Day?
What?
How about Alex Smith?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Maybe I'll get a – you know what? I'll probably be able to get a hold of him one-on-one because usually the players that don't have a podium are just walking around the field. I'm going to talk to Alex Smith. Definitely.
I feel bad for him. I mean, like, all week long, what's he going to – all he's going to have to talk about is how he lost his job and now the team's in the Super Bowl. And
watch this. It could be Bill's coming out party. He could have the story to end all stories, and Smith could just spew some venom about
Colin
Kaepernick.
There it is,
Kaepernick,
Bill. See?
You know?
There's your angle, man.
Try to get Alex Smith to talk some trash about Colin Kaepernick.
Try to ask a better question.
Next thing you know, Bill Enright is trending, and he's on the SportsCenter rundown, and, you know, God knows he could take over the world.
Bill, you should photobomb a lot of photos down there. That's what you should do. Photobombing.
That would be, or like all the press conference interviews. Like,
yeah,
so
all
like,
of them. Just like, the ball guy.
ESPN,
who's the ball guy with the eyes?
Paint some, yeah, paint two eyes, a nose, and a mouth on your bald head. And then just
that'd be great.
So like you're in the background of like all these stand-ups, and you just see this face, and then all of a sudden Bill like lifts his head up, and then you see him waving at you.
That'd be great,
Bill. That'd be awesome. And put like, put your Twitter hashtag.
Or you could paint like Football Nation or FF Champs on your head, something like that.
Go.
Get some free advertising.
That's good.
Love it.
That's good.
Put the Twitter handle up there.
We want to talk about this NFC game or now NFC Championship.
Hell
game.
Yeah.
Sure.
Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, why not?
Well, listen, we know the Atlanta Falcons are up 17-0. Todd,
your pick. Your pick to win, by the way.
I was so excited at the beginning of that game. I'll tell you. I was like, yes, finally.
But Kevin, before we get to that, Kevin, I always want to hear Kevin's perspective. So, your game is yet to happen. You had to be secretly rooting for the Falcons.
I absolutely was, because they're a fraud
team. You
probably
thought they were a better matchup for the Patriots.
Yeah, and
right?
They're frauds, too.
And they are frauds.
Yeah.
And so what's happening when it's 17-0? Where
are
you? What's going on?
Pretty excited. And actually, guys, I'm taking the Patriots loss better because the Falcons didn't win. Because I honestly think, and, I'm bracing myself for the hate mail, but I think that the Patriots, I don't like that matchup with San Francisco.
You think the Patriots would have had a difficult time
I think
beating
they
the 49ers?
Yeah, much more difficult than Atlanta.
I agree with that.
And so, I think if Atlanta had won, it would have made it hurt even more.
Okay.
Similar to, remember, I think it was like 06, I want to say, where the Pats blew the big lead in the AFC title game against Peyton and the Colts in Indy. I think they lost 38-34, and that year the Colts
Bills.
Went on...
Bears.
Yeah, they beat a Bears team that had no business being in the Super Bowl.
Right, they're terrible.
And so, like, I remember thinking, like, if we can just win this game, the AFC title game is the Super Bowl this year, and remember being really crushed, even more so because, you had the Bears staring you in the face.
But that was who we thought they were, Bears team.
Yeah, but I was rooting for Atlanta. I felt good about their chances, but in no way did I think that the game was over when it was 17-0.
Todd, what was the stat that you said at the beginning of the show? Both times that the home team in the championship games lost since when?
I believe it's the third time since 1970 that both home teams lost on championship Sunday.
That's crazy. And you see the Falcons up 17-0. Michael Crabtree fumbling on the 1-yard line. David Akers missing a field goal. And you just kind of think to yourself, well, you know what? No way is Atlanta going to give up this lead at home with the way that Julio Jones is making plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he was unstoppable in the first half of that game.
He was unstoppable. And Matt Ryan was on point. Matt Ryan was on point in that first half, man.
Sure was.
I couldn't believe how he was shredding that defense. I really couldn't. And Kaepernick, they had made the conscious decision to eliminate Kaepernick from the running game and just force them to run Frank Gore on that read option.
Right.
They decided, Kaepernick's not going to beat us on the edge.
And he did. He only had 21 rushing yards.
I know. He had them all in one big run, and that was it.
Yeah, 2 for 21.
Yep, that's it. So you figured their game plan was pretty good. And, how the hell do you lose the game? Now, Kaepernick was incredibly efficient when it's all said and done. 16 for 21.
Yep.
He just slings the ball. He's very accurate. He's on fire right now.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to do anything incredible. He didn't have to do anything completely amazing or any unbelievable throws. He just kind of had to run the offense, it seemed like, The offense was just on fire because, like you said, Bill, they scored 28 points, and they also fumbled on the one, and they also missed the 38-yard field goal.
Right.
So they could have easily had, 38 points or more. And, at the end of the day, Matt Ryan fumbles a shotgun snap where he's not paying attention. Mm-hmm. He throws an interception where it looks like Roddy White might be at fault. He kind of stumbled.
Yeah.
But, you know, two turnovers in the second half. And, you know, you give San Francisco new life, and they knew what to do with it. And, you know, the Falcons get the ball all the way down into the red zone at the end. What were you thinking at that point, Bill? Did you think the Falcons were going to pull it out or not?
I did.
I did not.
You didn't?
No. I thought they were going to – we've been talking about the Falcons.
You know why I did, Todd? Because they did it last week against Seattle. And they did it a few times this year. That's what they were doing all season long. They would be down with a few minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they would somehow pull it out. They would somehow get in the end zone. They would somehow put Matt Bryant into field goal position to, you know, get the win. That's what they were doing all year long, and that's why everyone didn't really like the Falcons as an elite team, as a true contender for the Super Bowl. But you know what? That's what they were doing. They were winning the close games. So, yeah, I definitely thought they were going to pull it out at the end.
Kevin, sure. You?
I don't think they were.
I agree. I thought that denied.
Kevin, you weren't even watching. You were on the field set up for the next game.
No, I watched the whole game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right.
I kept running back and forth, back in, you know.
Okay.
And was it true, if the Falcons had won, were they going to not be able to start Ryan in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he was off 4 weeks.
Yeah. So that would have been.
I don't even know who their backup is.
Is it McCown?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It would have been a freaking layup. Would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Would have been awesome.
What do you think? 16-point underdogs?
It would have been awesome. Bill and I would have been down there, beads on our heads, just whooping it, celebrating early, you know.
Blending right into Mardi Gras.
Getting after it. We would have been at, like, you know, we would have been doing rock, paper, scissors. Do you want to go to the strip club? Do you want to go to the casino? Do you want to go to the bar? Like, take your pick. It would have been.
Game final score was 28-24. Todd, the Falcons had the ball under, what was it? 3 minutes, first and 10 from the 16.
Yeah.
And you didn't think they were going to get a touchdown on that drive?
I did not.
Wow.
You know why? Because it's the one freaking prediction I got right this year.
They're a fraud team.
They're frauds.
They don't have the DNA.
How are they frauds, guys? They were the number one seed in the NFC. They beat the Seattle Seahawks. And they made it to the NFC Championship game.
Smith is a joke.
But they didn't.
They should have lost to Seattle.
The team just they just take peas down their leg all the time.
The Broncos should have beat the Ravens.
I can't wait till I think they come up here next year. No, we go down there. We play them. I'm not sure where
Falcons?
It is. Yeah, we play them.
Nice.
We play this. Them and also the Saints. That's going to be a shootout.
Another one. I love it. Love all these matchups.
We have a really good schedule next year in terms of we play a lot of quality teams, which I think they're going to have a lot of good games next year.
I mean, your schedule this year. You know,
yeah, it wasn't the sexiest.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, it turned out to be a little harder just because the NFC West turned out to be
and
better.
That's a tough division, you know.
But
obviously you got the Falcons and the Saints.
I'm pretty sure, guys, next year they play Baltimore, they play Pittsburgh, they play Cincinnati, mm-hmm. they play Denver, they play the Saints, they play the Falcons. They have a lot of good teams, a lot of good playoff teams.
Hey, even the Bucs. The Buccaneers
and the Panthers, with those quarterbacks that can run around.
I mean,
it's going to be
the Falcons were 13-3. The rest of the teams in that division were 7-9.
It's going to be interesting, guys.
They all beat each other.
It's going to be real interesting.
Last thing about this NFC Championship game: how about Vernon Davis? Did he wake up in a
finally?
Big way. Todd, you think that was planned out by Harbaugh?
I think that they were taking what the defense was giving them, and I think that they were trying to take away Kaepernick's run, and they were trying to double team Crabtree when they can. You know, we talked about Crabtree getting the majority of targets week in and week out, right?
Right.
Did you see the stat? I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. They showed it during the game where Crabtree actually had better stats than both Roddy and Julio over the course of, like, mm-hmm. the last eight games. So he's been red hot. So I think they were trying to take away Crabtree, take away Kaepernick's running ability, and that kind of left Vernon Davis in some good matchups. I think that's what happened there.
Vernon Davis had 5 receptions in the previous 5 games.
I still think
he had
though,
5 bro. For 106 and a touchdown versus the Falcons.
In my very humble opinion, he's still no JerMichael Finley.
Oh,
he's like a poor man's JerMichael Finley.
I like Vernon Davis. I think he's a really good player. I think he's one of those tight ends that is a game changer, like we saw in the NFC Championship game. But it boggled my mind why he wasn't involved in the offense. Down the stretch for the 49ers.
It's better than seeing your game-changing tight end in the owner's box with a cast.
Oh, that was terrible, wasn't it? Can you imagine Rob Gronkowski in the booth with Mr. Kraft?
He was. He was high.
No, no, no. Can you imagine being in there with them?
Yeah, it would have been an interesting
that
conversation
been awful.
Between
awful.
Mr. Kraft and Gonk. Must have been very interesting. Gonk.
Right. add the mayor to the mix.
Vernon
Davis. But I'm saying, if I'm Rob Gronkowski, you know, with all due respect to Mr. Kraft, I wouldn't want to watch the game with the owner.
Hernandez is going to do a great job. He sets in for a Gonk as Gonk's hurt.
Yeah, because Gonk. If I was Gonk, I'd want to be elsewhere.
He would have his own. He should have his own box with his own party.
Right. Getting wild.
Could you imagine CBS zooming in on that 47 times during the game?
Yeah, with all, you would have had all the beads around his neck. You would have been preparing to go to New Orleans.
I just felt like that wasn't his atmosphere. Probably a lot of suit and ties and executive type people. That's not Gronk's game.
Yeah, I think there was. I think you're spot on, Bill.
That's not Gronk's game.
No.
Bill.
That's
Gonk.
More of a Bill Enright, you know, very, very high class.
Oh, first class. Champagne and caviar.
It was definitely a white tie affair.
Yeah. There's nothing more American than caviar and champagne watching football.
Bill, if the Patriots had advanced, could you imagine the hashtag Gronk in NOLA would have been huge? Could you imagine him not having to play?
Would he be able to go to the game?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Patriots, usually if you're not playing, you're not at the game. That's why I was surprised.
What would have happened, Kevin? Would he have been at, like, media day and stuff?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
I guess
my bet is they would have let him come down for the game, but I don't think you would have seen him in public very much.
Right.
I bet you would have seen him in public.
You definitely would have seen him in public. It's hard to miss a 6'7" freaking giant walking down the streets on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. You definitely would have seen him in public, but not on the Patriots' behalf, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, to close the loop on this tight end conversation, Vernon Davis, the last 2 years, guys, it's 4 games played in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's averaging 27.5 yards per catch.
That's craziness.
Now, he was quiet in the opening game against the Packers, but obviously he was huge on Sunday, and last year he was tremendous in their short playoff run. So he has 16 catches, 442 yards, 5 touchdowns. Hmm. That's getting it done, man.
Sure is. All right, what do you say we take a quick break here on Football Nation? When we come back, though, we'll preview the Super Bowl 49ers. First, the Baltimore Ravens. That's coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
She always wants to buy brand new things, but I don't have the cash. Oh, why my job? All of my rich friends, I hit everyone to the bitter end. Nothing turns out right, there's no end in sight. I hate my life.
All right, Kevin. What was that song you just played? You Hate Your Life?
It's called I Hate My Life by Theory of a Dead Man. I just wow. chuckled when I found it.
Oh, man.
Jeez. That's
very depressing.
Brutal.
If you're a Patriots fan, Todd, or Kevin, you can answer
It's a good lead into this next topic, you know?
Can you really hate your life at this point? Let's look at the team last, I don't know, since the Brady Belichick era began. 5 Super Bowls, 3 wins. Made it to the AFC Championship this year, and you lost. Is life really that bad if you're a Patriots fan?
Kevin?
It's not bad. It's just, I think that...
8 years.
I think that what a lot of people don't understand is that they won so many Super Bowls in such a short window to start.
Everyone got spoiled.
Well, they got spoiled, but also, I think, Todd, what'd you say? Brady was 27 the last time they won?
It was 8 years ago.
Yeah, so at that age, and you're thinking, okay, Belichick's in his prime, Brady's in his prime. It's like
you're thinking you're going to get a couple more.
Yeah, we think, you know, we went through such a long stretch where they never won one, basically, from 1960 through, you know, 2000, and they had a lot of awful years where they were the Cleveland Browns, they were the terrible Oakland teams that we see now, they were the Bungles, and it's like, so if we have this window of opportunity before we regress and go back to those days at some point, it's like we'd just love to squeeze in as many as we can in this short little great window that we have open. And I think I think that's the depression that's starting to set in, because people say, okay, Brady's going to be 36 when we start this next year.
Right.
And it's like, how many years do we have left with these, with him and with Belichick and with the guys you currently have on this team?
Todd, you keep saying 8 years since they won their last Super Bowl. But what about teams like the 49ers happened to be in it this year? But they were a dominant franchise throughout NFL history. The Dallas Cowboys have been one of the most prestigious franchises in the NFL. They haven't won a Super Bowl since the mid-90s. The Packers, Giants, Colts, Saints, Steelers, and the Patriots are the last few teams to win a Super Bowl. Everyone else is pretty much not on this list. Even the Baltimore Ravens, they haven't won in 13 years. 8 years without a Super Bowl is really not that long of a time.
No, it's not.
Especially when you have two appearances in the game, you just didn't come out with a win.
And you're basically making the playoffs every year for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Bill, the Patriots fans, they're very spoiled, but I think that Kevin hit the nail on the head when they won so many so early. And you look at the age of Brady, the linchpin of the whole team, and you think, oh, my God, what's going to happen in the next 8 years? Kevin, if I had asked you after their last Super Bowl win, how many Super Bowls you would win in the next 8 years with a healthy Tom Brady in seven of the 8 years?
I would have guessed at least two more.
Right.
And here's the thing.
You had two Super Bowl appearances.
They had chances, and they
were lost. They were huge favorites and lost.
Yeah, and they were very close games that came down to a play or two here or there. And but I think when you're looking at Brady's age, Todd, it's a very unique perspective to look at that I don't think a lot of people do look at. When you look at a lot of the elite quarterbacks or guys that you consider elite over the past like 15 years or so, whether it's the Mannings or Aaron Rodgers or whoever it may be, Eli, a lot of these guys don't really truly round into their quote-unquote prime, at least statistically, until they're in those mid to late 20, you know? So the fact that Brady had three before he even really got into his, like, age, we'll call it his prime age area,
right,
was just remarkable. And he really hasn't won one in his, what we would consider statistically, his prime with that record-breaking season of 2007 and the other years that he's had that have been right up there. So it's like, you know, all these numbers are great, but...
Well, let's get into that for a second. Our buddy from coldhardfootballfacts.com, Kerry Byrne, wrote an article on this, kind of talking about, questioning, is this the end of the Brady Belichick era? You know, how many years are left where they're going to have a legitimate shot to win it all? And he broke it down pretty interestingly, Kev. Now, in 2001, 2003, 2004, he writes that, you know, the Patriots kind of won, but they were criticized kind of with a boring brand of football, but it was winning football. You know, it wasn't crazy offenses or anything like that, but it brought them three titles. Since then, since 2004, they've had four of the top 12 offenses in NFL history. In those years, they averaged four of the top 12 in history.
Yeah,
in those years, all years combined, they averaged 34 points per game, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
But in those 4 years, they lost each time at some point, whether it was in the Super Bowl or in the playoffs. And when they lost in their losing final game of the year, they only averaged 16 points in that game.
Yep.
You know, you look, they scored 13 this week. You know, look at the Giants game in the Super Bowl when they scored, what, 14?
I think all these failures, guys, they've made this fan base realize just no matter how good you are and how good a quarterback and how good a coach you have, it just makes you realize how hard it is to win consistently in the NFL.
Very hard. But to close the loop on your point there, though, Kev, you had mentioned how Brady wasn't getting – he wasn't even in his prime yet.
Yep.
And he wasn't. I mean, statistically, his stats went through the roof from that point on.
And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of arguing. I can't really come up with a ton of points against the people that are saying that the Patriots have now become the, you know, what Peyton Manning and the Colts were for so many years, which are – you know, you put up these great numbers in the regular season, you win 13, 14 games, you know, record-breaking offense, but they, for so long, just couldn't get over the hump.
Well, the big stat everyone's thrown in your face, or Patriots fans' face, Kev, is, you know, he's 7-7
in the last 14. Yeah.
And
to go even further, guys, if you statistically break down those 14 playoff games, he really hasn't been able to string together two really good playoff games in a row. Even last year when they won both games, the Denver game, he blew the doors off that Denver defense. But that Baltimore game last year, he wasn't great in. And, you know, if it wasn't for a fortunate break with Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff, I think you could really chalk that game up to his, you know, not one of his greatest games. And if you really get into it and dive into the numbers in terms of yardage, touchdowns to interception ratio, all that good stuff, he really hasn't been able to string together those really good runs of 2 and 3 games, which you need to win a Super Bowl.
So Kevin, in your heart of hearts here, what do you think? How many years are left in this era?
I would like to think there's 3 years left, but my kind of, I think that's me being wishful. My head is probably telling me from what I saw last night, or not last night, excuse me, Sunday night, that there's probably, provided, knock on wood, he stays healthy, there's definitely one, and there's probably two, but I think three would be a stretch. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and he's getting up there where, you know, he's been remarkably healthy, too.
But the one thing that gives me faith, guys, is so Peyton's a year older, still getting it done. Granted, he has a very good team around him, but still getting it done. And he went through, you know, that awful health ordeal he had last year and still was able to rebound at this age. So I'd like to hope that if Brady is able to stay, we'll call it reasonably healthy and not have any major health concerns like Peyton had or like
right.
he had back in 2008. I'd like to think that, knock on wood, if he's protected properly, which in most games he is, that you could milk another 2 or 3 years out of him.
What do you think his mindset is? Like, is he Favre-esque in that he's going to even?
I think he thinks he can play till he's 40 something.
Do you think he wants to?
I honestly do.
Okay.
But I just think that you can see in his face walking off that field last year in Indy, and what I saw in his face walking off the field on Sunday night, he knows that these opportunities that are slipping away from the Patriots are going, you know, they're going to become less and less frequent. You have
right.
to capitalize on these opportunities, and you can see just sort of the look of despair and disappointment in his face a lot more. I mean, you can just look in his eyes when he's walking off, and you can just kind of understand the finality of, okay, this season was filled with so much hope and so much anticipation.
And
you
now
know,
it's all over.
And now it's just a plane crash, you know, and
well,
it's
you know,
just, it's tough to deal with.
Here's the good news.
Can we avoid using plane crash referencing? I'm already freaking
I'm sorry,
out
Bill.
About flying home from New Orleans.
But
please,
Coach Belichick used the term crash landing in his press conference.
Crash landing is fine. Crash landing kind of assumes that you did land the plane.
Yeah, it depends.
But a plane crash assumes that no survivors, and that's bad news for me.
You just gotta hope that Denzel's your pilot, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
Jeez. Kevin, here's the good news.
Okay, tell me, cheer me up.
The good news for Patriots fans is that they're not in the NFC, because I think we could agree. If you look, run down the teams, the NFC is on the up. The AFC, to me, doesn't have a lot of like teams that scare the hell out of me in the next couple of years.
You know,
the AFC East is a joke. Okay,
right, complete mess.
Baltimore is obviously a monster number one threat. I'm not a huge believer in the Bengals, you know, getting it done in the next couple of years. I don't know about you. Pittsburgh could come back and have another
right.
run in them.
Right.
Cleveland, no. Texans, with Matt Schaub, you believing in them, Bill?
I'm not buying
it. I think they will be who they were this year
right.
for the next 3 or 4 years going
They're
forward.
They're like, yeah. You know, maybe Andrew Luck in a couple of years. Tennessee,
right.
no. Jacksonville, no. Peyton Manning, yeah. Obviously, while he's in Denver for a couple more years. But the rest of the AFC West is terrible. There's not a lot of teams to worry about in the AFC, in my opinion. Now, in the NFC, you got all sorts of problems.
Yep, I agree.
So that's the good news.
Yeah, and when you get into when you're fortunate enough, Todd, to make it to the Super Bowl, even if it's against a better team, we know that anything can happen on Super Bowl Sunday. And so that's the one
right.
thing you have
Absolutely.
In your favor if you're an underdog.
I just think that if you look at the NFC next year, you can make the – You can make the argument for, 8 teams to make it out of the NFC next year.
Yep.
You can't do that in the AFC. In my view, you can make the argument for maybe 4 teams.
Yep. I'm with you.
So that's the good news, is that you're still in the AFC East. You still get 6 games against that, you know, ridiculous trio of the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills. And that's good.
Yep, it is.
So
the
there
bad
you
news
go.
Is
they're going to have to earn it.
You play the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know, one game scenario, like he said, anything can happen.
But I mean, they're going to have to earn it next year, because they're going to play the AFC North and they're going to play the NFC South. So they're going to play two pretty solid divisions.
That's a good point. But as long as they get into the dance.
Oh, yeah. As long as you make the dance, and if they can just win that division, then you're guaranteed a top four seed, and that's how it works. And you're guaranteed, at worst, hosting on Wild Card Weekend, which isn't the worst thing in the world.
So what did you say, Kevin? Three more years for this Brady Belichick
team? Well, I'm going to – if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to say two, but I'm hopeful of three.
So we're expecting maybe at least one Super Bowl appearance in the next 3 years.
Would you sign up
for that right now?
Hell yeah. I would love in my heart of hearts to think that at some point here in the next, say, 3 years, these guys will get it together and be able to win a Super Bowl and kind of ride off into the sunset together. Maybe not together, but because I think Belichick, from what he said the other day, is going to coach here. And this is a direct quote. I'm going to coach here until I'm told otherwise.
Yeah.
So maybe not Belichick, but I'd like to see Brady be able to kind of ride off into the sunset after a Super Bowl. That'd be awesome. I think he deserves it. He's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time when it's all said and done.
No doubt about it.
Already has the most postseason victories by any quarterback.
Yeah, and he's got the most passing yards, too, I think, in the loss. He overtook Brett Favre, I believe, for the most all-time passing yards in the playoffs.
That is correct.
How about
already passed Joe Montana.
KC dropping dimes.
Tom Brady passed Joe Montana last week for most playoff wins.
Yeah, with 17. Yep.
Right.
How about Joe Flacco, most road wins in playoff history?
Yeah, I got to give Flacco some props. I'm wacko for Flacco. What can I say?
He's so boring. I mean,
he is.
Talk about the boring Super Bowl Media Day interview. He's so boring.
He's a Delaware Blue Hen.
I won't be going to his podium.
No? Yeah. You won't be getting much out of him there.
No, I don't think so.
No. I hail from the Philadelphia area, and he went to high school in New Jersey.
Right.
And a lot of people that, you know, say that he's just like that off the field. Like, you know, when he goes out with his friends, he's the designated driver. He's just like the dude that just kind of hangs out.
Well, he's definitely – you don't see him get rattled, so that's a good quality.
No, he's totally – he's kind of Joe Cool.
Yeah. Right?
Like, the old nickname was – was it Joe Montana that called Joe Cool every once in a while? So, he definitely has that quality, which he's used to his advantage. The problem is when you lose and you have no emotion, that's when the fans get a little fired up.
Yeah.
Right.
When you lose without emotion, you're like, well, where's the emotion?
I agree 100%, Todd. That happens in Boston a lot. It's like you have to show, like, even though it may be a facade, you have to show that you're angry and that take that as caring.
There's a lot of blue collar towns. Philadelphia's another one of those.
Yep,
where
exactly.
The underdog, you know, the underdog center fielder that has the scrappy year, you know, he runs into the wall for you. You know, they love that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same thing. Same thing here. So Flacco, hey, when he wins, he's cool and calm. Nothing rattles him. When he loses, he doesn't care. What's wrong with him?
Did you just make an Aaron Rowan? Was that what you were going for?
Aaron Rowan, yeah, he actually
didn't he eat the wall?
He smashed his face
bank
into
part?
The wall.
Yeah,
it was like a fence part.
See,
of the wall.
I'm well rounded.
Oh, look at you,
well versed.
Bill doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
Nope, not
Aaron Rowan, and that was that ugly like chain link bullpen fence, I think too.
Yeah,
he just shredded his face.
Shredded it pretty good.
He had to go get the Rip Hamilton mask.
So what are you guys talking about? I have no idea.
He just, of a Lecter.
Center fielder for the Phillies, Bill. He just,
oh, baseball. No, forget it.
He just ran it.
Never mind. I'm sorry I asked.
He ran into the wall face first and just ate it.
Ugh.
And Todd embraced him. I think he was there to, you know, check him out of the hospital in his wheelchair.
Yeah.
His gurney.
Not quite.
Not a big Aaron Rowan guy, Todd?
Jeez.
Do you not like baseball at all? Either one of you?
I refuse to talk any more about baseball.
I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
I was a baseball fan huge growing up.
So what other sports?
But it's a ridiculous second or third on my pecking order.
Okay, so what do you guys like? Basketball? Do you like hockey? Like, what's your? Because there's gonna be another sport other than just football, right?
Football, college basketball.
Okay, I respect that.
Well, I'm NFL, college football are number one and two,
football.
And then there's like nothing else. But I will get into the NHL playoffs.
Okay.
It's hard to get into the NHL regular season, although they have the abbreviated season this year, which actually helps in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the games a lot more important.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my whole thing with these other sports is, you know.
Yeah, it's a long marathon, especially baseball. Especially
baseball is ridiculous.
Yeah, but I was just curious. Sorry to get off topic, but I'm just, you know, since the last show of the season, I'm trying to peel away the layer. You're like onions, both of you, trying to get the fans to know you a little bit better.
Too late.
Yeah, it's the last.
Well, you're
the last 10 minutes.
You're going to be back next year. Don't worry about
it's
it.
The last 10 minutes of the show.
Listen, we can't wait to be back next year.
I can't
wait.
I'm going
to
be going through withdrawals.
We had a blast on this show, right?
Absolutely. Here's the deal, Bill. We've got a lot of homework assignments for Kevin in the next whatever.
Gonna get all my
months.
Bird drops organized.
Yeah, we're gonna have some special surprises for next year. You're gonna have a lot of free time on your hands. I anticipate.
Yeah, I will. I'd like to get out of the cold for a little bit at some point if they let me. If they let me out of my cage. So we'll see. I definitely don't want to take an RV road trip, though. I'd like to fly wherever I'm going. I'd like to go to some, like, warm island somewhere.
I'll take a cruise ship.
Bill can swim.
I'll take a yacht or a cruise ship.
Yeah. Yeah, cruise actually sounds good about now. I don't know about you guys. So, wait, Bill. You like boats. You don't get seasick or anything.
Oh, I love boats. I can't wait to...
Because I'm an avid boater myself, being from the beach area up here. Sure. So,
well, you know Bill's a surfer.
Is he?
Yeah, big time.
He hangs 10 or whatever.
Cowabunga? Point Break. Johnny Utah. 10,
though. Impressive.
Although, I don't know if my shore house is, you know, going to be active this summer thanks to Hurricane Sandy.
But, Bill, I saw pictures of you with, like, a sledgehammer in your hand and a bunch of plywood. Now, you were involved in fixing that house up, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
So that's still an ongoing project as we speak?
It's nonstop.
All right.
It's certainly a long process.
How far, Bill, is your we'll call it your summer home?
Hour and a half.
Where's Atlantic City in comparison to your summer home?
About 45 minutes.
Oh
south.
Man, I gotta have to come visit sometime.
Oh, because
I've never been to the Jersey Shore or Atlantic City before.
Well, if you think of Jersey Shore and then you think of the MTV show,
I've never seen the TV show. I've never seen.
Neither have I.
All right.
I refuse to watch it. I've been doing the stuff that they were doing since I was like 15. So
yeah.
I can't.
So you're big into the GTL, gym tanning laundry?
No, jam? That is not my lifestyle at all.
So you're not going to be bronzed when I see you in like February.
He's orange.
You know, he's orange all year round. Bill Enright's orange.
When he's photobombing down at the Super Bowl.
He's Syracuse orange.
No. It's going to be a gigantic, you know, Oompa Loompa in the background, photobombing. No. Photobombing Joe Flacco.
I'm about as pale as a
gonna
piece
be down
of
there
right
with
now.
Snooki.
Yeah.
No, God forbid. No, I'm pretty pale.
Are you the father of Snooki's child, Bill?
No. But I do play in
the child
football
bald?
League with the
in
father.
Orange.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill's trying to get a joke in there. Bill, you have to make your mark at the Super Bowl. We're gonna be very disappointed if you know.
Because we're gonna have to live vicariously through you,
yes.
Bill, Todd, and I.
Listen, what do you guys want me to do? I'll do
it. We want you to tweet what you're eating. We want to know every piece of moose jerky you're gonna eat.
What about if he photobombs in his drag outfit that he still has?
That's what you gotta do.
He wears high heels and a skirt to
I
media
can't.
Day.
I might get fired. No.
That'd be great. He's out there on the field at the Superdome interviewing Alex Smith. Dressed in drag.
That would be terrible.
Now that would be a sight.
I can't do that.
I understand.
I'll lose my job.
I understand.
Super Bowl press passes, they're very hard to come by.
They're hard to come by. I'm with you.
I can't risk it all by dressing up as a female.
And you don't want Frankie C and Carrie to turn on you.
No.
That's the last thing you want is enemies on these long rides.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have time to get into the prop bets for the Super Bowl, but if there was a prop bet, Kevin, for who's going to go to jail out of Frankie C, Carrie, and Bill.
From what I've heard, I think Frankie C is a real wild card.
Yeah, he is.
I think I would have to go with him.
See, I get to the point where if I'm in trouble, I know exactly when to leave, how to get
how to
out,
stop.
How to escape,
exactly.
How to stop.
Yep.
Frankie C, on the other hand, you said it, Kevin. He's a wild card.
So it hurts even more now knowing that I could have been drinking or breaking bread with the great Frankie C as well because I hear his voice.
Could have been his wingman.
I hear his voice every Wednesday, but I've never actually met the man. So that's going
to
happen.
Tell you what, if you had him and Olivier,
Olivier would just bankroll the whole party.
He would.
That's what he would do. He'd be making it rain wherever we were.
Olivier may have to set, you know, Western Union me some funds.
He may be making it rain with foreign currency, but it'd be raining, you know.
He'll make it chocolate rain.
It would be like Egyptian rubies or something like that.
It'd be chocolate rain.
Something like that.
Now, you're allowed to have alcohol on the streets of New Orleans, right?
I think you can just walk around with beer in hand. Cool. And now, they did that, if I recall, I did that in Indy.
Yeah, I did that in Indy, too. But I don't think it really caught on in Indy. Like, I don't think people realize
it. Yeah, how great a freedom it was. Yeah.
Because it's Indy.
Right.
Yeah, like, I was walking around Gronk spiking aluminum bottles and, you know, just loving it.
See, next year, I can't wait for the Super Bowl. Next year, I literally can roll out of bed and walk to the stadium.
Yeah, I mean,
I have no road trips for next year, so I'm looking forward to that. This year, you know, it's going a little bit outside of my comfort zone. But, hey, I do it for the job. What can I say? I'm a team player.
You're a team player. Yeah, I'm going to go to New Orleans and whoop it up with my guy friends. I'm a team player.
What is the weather forecast like this week at your house, Bill?
It's actually going to be heavy snow on Friday.
Really?
Yeah, and it's going to be like 16 degrees tonight.
It got real cold here overnight and into today, like really insanely single-digit cold.
Well, I don't know. That whole cold, what's your feeling on the whole cold Super Bowl thing that we're going to be dealing with
next year? I'm not a fan of it.
It's going to be cold. I'm telling you, it's going to be cold.
It'll favor definitely, like, you know, if there's happens to be an outdoor cold weather team, it'll be an insane advantage. But
it's cloudy, it's rainy, it's snowy.
I just always associate the Super Bowl with, like, having a good time, being in the sun, maybe getting to the beach. Like,
what's the weather going to be like in New Orleans next year? 76 on Tuesday.
Yeah, I could go for some of that. But while we're talking about New Orleans, you guys have any predictions for the Super Bowl?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to here.
I'm hosting now. You know, I'm just trying to move us along.
I think it's going to be the Ravens. I got the Ravens.
Really? You think that they have it?
28-24 is my prediction.
Okay.
I totally agree. I think I'm a believer now. I'm rooting very hard for the Niners. I'm a big fan of Colin Kaepernick. However, I'm going to go Ravens 31-27.
31-27.
So you both think it's going to be a 4-point spread?
Yeah, I got 28-24. Todd has 31-27.
Was the line 4.5, I think?
It's fluctuating 4 and 4.5 the way of San Francisco right now.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take the cyborg gazelle, as Todd calls him.
Yes.
I'm going to take him 27-17.
Okay.
I hope you're right, man.
I really think I've been so impressed with him, but not only him, but just that whole team in general. The way they're coached, the way they play defense, I just think that when you look at them as a whole, they're more balanced than Baltimore. But, you know, I thought we were better and more balanced than Baltimore. And Baltimore has a factor, and I don't know what you call it, the X factor, the it factor. It's just that they're a team that is tough, and they're smart and physical, and they're playing with so much passion and emotion, and you can't take out the human element in this game. And I, for one, am eating crow because I discounted that last week. So I just wanted to acknowledge that while still picking the 49ers.
You know what? I mean, when I saw Matt Ryan pick apart that 49ers defense,
Matty Ice Melt,
in a dome, I can see Flacco doing that with Smith and Bolden. And Pitta, by the way. By the way, how about Dennis Pitta? I mean, we haven't even talked about
Pitta-patta.
Him.
He's very polite.
He's very polite.
Yeah, I ran into him before the game. I literally ran into him. And instead of, like, get the F out of my way, he was very nice. And I was like, I'm not supposed to like you.
Yeah. Well, think about, I mean, Flacco, lo and behold, he has some weapons. Pitta, Bolden, Torrey Smith, Ray Rice, Bernard Pierce. That's pretty solid.
Jones.
That's a solid offense. And I saw what Matt Ryan did. Yeah, granted, most of it was Julio Jones, like a super freak running around in the secondary of the Niners. I think Flacco can I think he can have some success through the air, and I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think that the Ravens have this weird edge.
Yeah.
We've been dancing around it the last couple weeks. You know, I'm not going to dance around it anymore. I'm just going to take them to win it.
And I mean, for all the people like me that kind of thought that, I mean, the Ray Lewis retirement thing, at the time he did it, was an attention grab and this, that, and the other thing, are all eating crow because it clearly has had an effect on
what happened
team.
To that billboard in the Boston area.
Oh, I don't know. But I know that the players in this locker room down the hall weren't happy about it. I did see
another billboard. I think it was in Maryland though, that said the Ray Lewis retirement party has been extended to February 3rd.
Yeah, I mean, I just think
you see that one, Bill?
Yeah.
you know, obviously the you can't control the fans and all that, but I think our players, a couple of them were asked about it, and they weren't too happy.
I'm sure. We said that last week. It's more for the fans than it is for the players. I don't think the players like that kind of thing.
Nope, I'm with you.
There you go.
Kevin, you went with the 49ers. Todd and I went with the Ravens.
Yep.
We'll see who's right in 2 weeks. Is anyone watching the Pro Bowl this weekend?
Nope.
No.
Nope. This might be the last Pro Bowl ever.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, that agreement's up, right?
Well, yeah, they're giving them like one more chance to make it remotely competitive.
It won't be.
I'm just going to try to recover and enjoy my first kind of two-day weekend in a long, long time, in like 8 months or something like that. I don't even know.
Good for you, Kevin. You deserve it. Todd, any last-minute words?
Kevin, it's been great, my friend.
Yeah, you guys, it's been a great first year for us, huh?
Yeah. It really has. It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully we're back next year and we can do it again.
Oh, we'll be back. We'll be back and better than ever with new bird noises.
Well, what can I say? Kevin, you did a great job all year. Todd, you know I love co-hosting with you. This was our final show of the season. We had a blast doing this show for the Pats, and we can't wait to be back next year here on Patriots.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, there is never an off-season at FootballNation.com.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.